Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Talking some NFL and singing some Christmas tunes. Club coming up here in about a half hour or so. We do a year interview in pop culture. Maybe the airing of the grievances on Festivus. Once we got in the old tickle trunk. Do things I'm grateful for. And one of the stranger heists I've ever seen involving octopussy. So yeah, stick around for that one. An interesting club. We're talking a little NFL. Great weekend, by the way, in the NFL. It maybe not on paper when you looked at the slate, but I think the NFL this season has been bananas. Like, I feel like every week, even when you look at it and you say, like, I don't know how many of these marquee games, but, like, I feel like every other week we are having a contender for game of the year. Like, and every time you're like, dude, this couldn't get any better. It does get better. And I get that maybe for some, there isn't really an elite team right now in the NFL. Like, if you ask me who the best team in the NFL right now is, I don't know. I said it was the Denver Broncos. I thought, to me, while Denver was far from perfect, if Bo Nix played 2 quarters of good Bo Nix, I thought Denver was the best team. I didn't really believe in Jacksonville. Jacksonville took Denver behind the woodshed. It didn't look good early, but that's a monster win. That's a signature win for Jacksonville. One of the most important wins of the year, right? New England-Baltimore, phenomenal game. Lions-Steelers, basically an elimination game. That came down to the wire and was crazy. We didn't even mention Thursday Night Football, which might have been the game of the year. I mean, it's just been crazy. And then we went into Monday Night Football, and I don't think enough people are talking about this, but Monday Night Football, the Philip Rivers thing, I just need to take a moment before I get into San Francisco, because that is an entity unto its own. Just, and not enough people are talking about it. But Philip Rivers went 23 of 35 for 277 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick, had a quarterback rating of 97 against one of the 2 or 3 best teams in the NFL. A team that has a real path to be the number one seed in all of football. And Philip Rivers, who hasn't played a football game in 5 years, his fat old ass at 44
days,
a 44-year-old Philip Rivers. I saw someone said Patrick Willis was roaming around the San Francisco Colts game. Patrick Willis is in the Hall of Fame and has been retired for 11 years and is 4 years younger than Philip Rivers. And Philip Rivers actually against San Francisco, like, he was pushing the ball downfield. Like, that goes to tell you what a player of his caliber and his understanding of the position can do. And not only is it is an amazing tale, like every time they kept showing Philip Rivers' family up in the luxury suite, am I the only one that thought that family was growing? It was like a Where's Waldo, like, cartoon. Every time I was like, did another kid just pop up? I think he has like, what, 11 kids and like...
10 kids and a grandchild.
My God. And like every time there was just more people up in that box. And by the way, he said he's going to finish out the season. He knows that this is it. He's got two more games and he's, you know, he's like, hey man, I understand this is it for me. But what a cool story. And he's playing the position at a high level. And yes, he's very limited physically in what he can do. But I do think it's an indictment on the quarterback play in this league that Philip Rivers at his age coming off the couch can command an offense and despite his physical limitations can play better than let's go 60% of the quarterbacks playing right now in the NFL. And for a lot of the young guys, whether that's the Caleb Williams or the Bo Nixes or whatever, imagine if you had the understanding of Philip Rivers to go with the skill set that you currently have. It really does underscore a massive problem we have in the NFL is we just don't have an understanding of quarterback play. It's not happening at the high school level. It's not happening at the collegiate level. And guys are getting to the NFL and they're not getting an opportunity to grow and develop. I think it's also why you see some of the retreads, like the Sam Darnolds of the world, kind of getting second cracks at this thing. That sometimes it's taking 5 or 6 years down the road and maybe a couple different systems in order for it to click for some of these guys. I mean, Drake May coming in his second year, and Drake May is having an all-world sort of season and maybe the MVP, but that's the exception. We've had guys that have had breakout years, you know, whether that's Jaden Daniels, who's had massive regression. Bo Nix this year had regression until the last couple weeks where he figured it out. CJ Stroud certainly had a regression after a breakout year. It's really hard to get sustained quarterback play. And I think Philip Rivers is just an example of that old class where, again, as stuff grows and evolves, it usually gets better. But I think that position, I think, has regressed. I think the NFL quarterback play is really in a bad spot compared to where the rest of the game has grown. And 44-year-old Philip Rivers doing what he's doing, to me, is a shining example of that.
Brought it up a few weeks ago, but I think it was a stat where I think only 4 quarterbacks this decade have thrown for over 500 yards.
Yeah.
And previous decade in the 2010s, I think there was 21.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a great clip going around of Kirk Cousins, who was kind of explaining pure progression versus pure progression reads versus kind of half field reads, like Shanahan's system of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and kind of splitting the field in half, kind of the New England Patriots style versus the Kyle Shanahan style. And as these defenses have evolved and grown, it's gotten a lot harder for quarterbacks to play the position, and you've kind of had to dumb down. Like Cousins is basically saying, we've had to dumb down the position. We no longer have an understanding of how to play the position because guys are coming in the league less prepared from high school and college systems that are not preparing them. And NFL defenses have gotten so good
at disguising coverages.
Yeah, he basically said that back in the day, everything that you did in kind of the old school Philip Rivers, Tom Brady sort of way was based on, do you have single high or two high safeties? And based on that, you would basically cut the field in half and you know you would go to attack. And Cousins said defenses figured that out and they're not doing that anymore. They're disguising it so well and quarterbacks after the snap are not able to differentiate to that. And so a lot of teams have had to go to the Shanahan system, which is pure progression, which is you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no matter what. No matter what the defense shows you, this is what you're doing, which can be a challenge.
Because now you got quarterbacks holding the ball for upwards of 3 seconds.
And quarterback play is really struggling.
And these edge rushers are getting to the quarterback in less than 3 seconds.
Yeah. And we're just not doing a good enough job of preparing quarterbacks, nor are they getting time to properly develop. I mean, you get a guy that comes in the league, and within 3 starts, we're trying to say, well, this guy's a bum or this guy's great. It's the Bo Nix thing, right?
Look at Shedeur Sanders.
He is, well, that's a whole other thing because, like, The level of dishonesty in which people talk about Shedeur Sanders, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. Some of it is that people don't like him and they want to trash him at every moment. And there's an entire sect of media that will do anything to push the narrative that he is being wronged and that he is somehow a star that is being held back mainly because of racial or family reasons. And it's embarrassing.
And he's just a fifth-round quarterback yes. who's going out there with a underwhelming roster.
Yes.
And doing what, again, he's just doing the basic tasks of the position.
And he's playing the hardest position in the league. And it, like when you watch that Buffalo game, their entire offense is predicated on screens, dump offs, and get the ball out of your hand as quick as possible because we don't trust you to run through a real NFL offense, nor should you because you're a rookie that has terrible numbers and a fifth round pick and you're playing behind a bad offensive line. They shouldn't trust you, but we can't have that conversation. It's just, it is, we are living in an era now of bad quarterback play. So when you see elite quarterback play, it really is something special to behold. When you see the guys that can really, really play it at a high level. And I think it's also why you see, again, either the retreads or some of the old heads that are coming back, the Phillip Rivers. I think Aaron Rodgers the last couple weeks has kind of come into his own again, and he's started to actually play real football. It looks like he wants to engage and wants to play the position. And when you have a good one, Justin Herbert right now is basically carrying a makeshift Chargers team. Again, could be carrying them to that division title because he's playing at such an elite level. It really does feel like right now the guys that are doing it at a high level are really standing out because there is such a drop-off between the elite guys and the system guys and then guys that just aren't very good.
I mean, look at Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is a great quarterback by the numbers, but if you put him in the decade where he was playing with all those guys 4 or 5 years ago, he's an average quarterback who's probably not top five in numbers.
I wonder if we're going to see another, like that heyday of with Manning and Brady and Rivers and, you know, if you want to throw Eli into that. I mean,
Big Ben, baby.
Yeah, throw Roethlisberger into that, Drew Brees.
Matt Ryan.
And I don't know, again, football is cyclical, so maybe there is an answer coming around to this. And like Trevor Lawrence is in year five, and Trevor Lawrence appears to be playing his best football. So give it, you know, give everyone time. Like Trevor Lawrence, even the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season, it looked like maybe it was a bust. It looked like it wasn't going to happen. And all of a sudden, you go get him Leon Cohen, you go get him Jacoby Myers, right? All of a sudden, ETN stays healthy. And look, after 5 years, it's starting to look like the Trevor Lawrence that we thought we were going to get out of college. You're starting to see that emerge a little bit, right? CJ Stroud, the last couple of years, it hasn't looked great because he's playing behind a crappy old line without a run game. But as this year has kind of gone on a little bit, it feels like you're starting to get old shades of this. So we may just have to have some patience. We want to crown franchise quarterbacks and bus within a year or two, and I'm just not certain anymore in the NFL that you can do that.
100%.
Every now and then you may get a Drake May. Drake May looks right now like he should be the MVP in its year two. Question becomes, does Drake May next year take a regress year, which we saw from Jaden Daniels,
CJ Stroud,
we saw from Trevor Lawrence. Do we see that, or does Drake May kind of defy the odds? Because the last guy we've seen that just hit the ground running and really took off, it was probably Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes is an all-time great. So is Drake May the outlier, or is he going to be a guy that has a little bit more of the up and down? Even Josh Allen didn't pop until year three. And yet with the Tyler Shucks or the Bo Nixes or any of these guys, God, we want to make sweeping statements after three games. Oh, he's elite. Oh, we've got a franchise guy. Oh, this guy's a bum. And it's just not. It's just not the way that this league is run anymore.
Again, if we have the conversation about college football quarterbacks, you know, the conversation about Dante Morris, he hasn't played more than 20 or less. Played less than 20 games in his college career.
No, the best thing for Dante Moore would be if he decided to come back. But at the same time, he's going to be the number one or number two overall pick, and he's going to sign a $50 million guaranteed deal. So if Dante Moore comes out, regardless of who drafts him, they better understand there will be some ebbs and flows to this. Look, Caleb Williams was the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes. And Caleb Williams did not look like Patrick Mahomes. But he got Ben Johnson. He got a real offense. And now you're starting to see signs. Is it perfect? No, but you're starting to see signs. So if Dante Moore goes someplace where he's got good infrastructure and good coaching and is given some time to develop.
At 20 years old.
He could turn into something. If he ends up in that situation like in Las Vegas right now. Whoever ends up in Vegas, if that's your coaching staff and that's your O-line, good luck to you.
You better be Carson Beck with a whole lot of experience.
It could be real, real bad. quarterback play is just, it's just an interesting, we're in an interesting spot in this league right now. And I just wanted to take a moment because what Phillip Rivers did against those defenses, by the way, look at who he's played against. Like, I really thought that when we saw who he was going to play against when he came back, I was like, Phillip Rivers is going to die. Like, they will plant him into the ground. It wasn't like he was playing against his slappies. Last time I checked, Seattle's defense, pretty good.
Last time I checked, Robert Saleh was a pretty good defensive coordinator.
Pretty good. And now he's got Jacksonville and the Texans. If he manages to go these next two games and he stays upright, that will go a long way to cementing the legacy of Phillip Rivers of just how good he was. And again, probably was not appreciated in the era in which he played. But if Phillip Rivers played today, I think we view him completely different. It's kind of what you were saying with the whole Dak Prescott thing. When we come back, some props to an NFC team, not named the Rams and not named the Seahawks, because this is one of the best coaching jobs I've seen in the NFL in years and is setting up potentially, truly the game of the year in the NFL for the last week of the season. When we come back, here, though, is Lowercase with a sports update. Fun fact, my favorite Christmas song right here.
Blues Traveler's great.
Yeah, Blues Traveler, and the song is just called Christmas. It was off, you know, they did all those, what is it, A Very Special Christmas, the different, like, charity albums, and whatever volume this was from the 90s or whatever, but this is my favorite modern Christmas song. Because you're getting, you got, like, different categories, because you got, like, your traditionals, because then I'm like, I'm just, you give me Andy Williams, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It doesn't get any better than that. And then maybe, like, a First Noel, I like that. And then you get into more of the modern stuff. And that's like, you know, more, you know, everybody has their own original Christmas song. Pearl Jam has a really good one that I really like. Old 97s, Blues Traveler is my favorite one. And then you got like kind of the redos where you get into like the Bublé or the Mariah Carey's singing the old. So it's like you break down into three kind of Christmas categories, if you will. But I love a good Christmas tune. Makes me happy. And we'll play some of those over the course of the club. Club coming up where we're going to do a year-end review in the year-end pop culture. Kind of a strange year in a lot of different ways. Things I'm grateful for. The strangest James Bond-themed octopus-y like heist that you'll ever see. And the 10 honest Guinness Book of World Records that were broken in the year of our Lord 2025. So, and that will be our last club of the holiday season because this is our last show before we break for Christmas. And then we'll be back on Monday leading up to the Ducks-Texas Tech game. And remember that you can come watch the Ducks and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl with the fan at Grand Central Bowl Arcade and Sports Bar on New Year's Day. Doors open early for the 9 a.m. kick with food and drink specials throughout the day. Stick around after for the Dick Cannon Dealership's post-game scoreboard with Joe Fisher and Jordan Schultz live from Grand Central. For more details, head to the events page at 1051thefan.com. Also, on New Year's Eve, we will have a special show 1 to 4. So we'll have normal programming. We'll be back. I think it's probably going to be me and you again because I think Rob's out. So we'll be here Monday, Tuesday with our normal lineup.
We'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be here primetime 3 to 7. And then on Wednesday, which is New Year's Eve, we're going to do a special show 1 to 4. It'll be Dirt hosting and then me and Anthony Newman, new head coach, by the way, of West Lynn, Anthony Newman, former Duck and NFL great. And we'll do a pregame show leading you up, to the Orange Bowl, which will be actually on New Year's Day, which you can hear again right here on The Fan. I want to take a moment and give some credit to the San Francisco 49ers. This is the best division in football. And obviously it gets a lot of attention out here on the West Coast because of the Seattle Seahawks. And the Seahawks, by the way, in the catbird position, sitting there at 12-3. Niners are 11-4. Rams are 11-4. Seahawks went out. They're the number one seed. They win the division. The Niners went out. They're the number one seed. They win the division. If one of those teams falters, actually, if both of those teams falter and they lose a game and the Rams win out, the Rams win the division and they're the number one seed. So a lot to be played for in these last 2 weeks. And the Rams, by the way, have by far the easiest schedule. They've got layups on their schedule. The Seahawks actually have a competitive one. They're on the road this week. They have to go on the road to the Carolina Panthers. And Carolina's coming off a big win over the Bucks. They're in the catbird seat to win that division. So that could be a playoff team. And then they finish up with the Niners. The Niners have the Chicago Bears, which by no means is a gimme, but I also don't think it's a game at this point if you're the Niners that you're scared of. I mean, if you've seen the amount of comebacks that the Bears have had this year, this is another one of those strange things. I don't know whether the Bears are good or not. They're 11-4. I know the Bears are resilient. I know the Bears don't quit, but the Bears might be the most fortunate team in the history.
All of a sudden, Caleb Williams will just leave a pass 2 yards short right into a corner's hands, but he'll make a 65-yard bomb to DJ Moore to end a game.
Dude, it's the damnedest thing. When you look at, I think I have it here, the leads that the Bears, I guess I should say the holes that the Bears have dug themselves out of this year, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. So your record at this point in the year, you are what your record says that you are. So the Bears are good. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, like, that's not a team that if I'm anyone in the NFL and I'm staring at, that I'm concerned about the Chicago Bears. They have massive holes in their defense. Their offense is the definition of hot and cold. And like you said, Caleb Williams can make, the last 2 weeks, Caleb Williams has maybe had the throws of the year. But also when you watch him play, outside of that occasional, oh my God, there's a lot of meat left on that bone. So this is the Bears, by the way. So they were down 16-6 with 2 minutes left to play against the Green Bay Packers, right? In that game. And they needed Green Bay to fumble a snap on what, fourth or third and one in overtime. 16-6 with 2 minutes left to play. They were down 20-10 with 4 minutes left to go against the Giants. They were down 42-41 with 20 seconds left against Cincinnati. They were down 17-16 with 10 seconds left against Minnesota. They were down 24-19 with 2 minutes left against the Raiders, 125-24. And they were down 24-16 with 11 minutes left against Washington. And all of those games, they won basically by 1 or 2 points. So I asked the question, like, I don't know what to make of the Bears. But when the Niners play the Bears, I'll tell you who I'm taking. I'm taking the San Francisco 49ers. Like, we've written off the 49ers so many times this year. You think about, and by the way, George Kittle's hurt again. We don't know if George Kittle's going to play. And at this point, I don't think it matters. Like, we talked about earlier the Blazers injuries. The San Francisco 49ers are the Portland Trail Blazers. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many defenders get hurt. It doesn't matter how many receivers get hurt. It doesn't matter if you're playing with their backup quarterback or not. Like, we don't talk about the 49ers. And yet, they're sitting there at 11-4. And they have a game against the Bears and the Seahawks. And if they win those two games, that's the number one seed. And I would also like to point out that they have wins this year over the LA Rams and the Seattle Seahawks already. This is the damnedest coaching job I've seen in the NFL in years. How Kyle Shanahan is doing this and piecing this together with an average O-line and an old-ass left tackle that just continues to defy age. Christian McCaffrey, who's going to get the ball 400 times this year and somehow hasn't exploded. A receiving core that I don't even know on a week-to-week basis who you have. Your best receiver has basically quit the team and is on, like, Instagram driving by the stadium at 100 miles an hour. George Kittle's hurt every other week. And yet, and by the way, your best defender out.
And you are missing your quarterback for 6 weeks.
You're all-rookie, all-world defensive lineman that you drafted in the first round of Georgia. He's out, and it doesn't matter. They just keep chugging along. This really is one of the best coaching jobs. And I think the Niners get this thing done against the Bears. One, at this point, I'm not doubting the 49ers and the Bears. Like, the luck eventually has to run out, right? There's no way they can keep this up. And this is why, as good as the Bears are, I don't consider the Bears a threat. When you are this fortunate and you have this many games that are improbably going your way, the pendulum's going to swing back. I do not think the Bears are serious contenders. And I wouldn't have said this before maybe this week, because I said the same thing about the Niners. I just didn't believe that they could overcome this. But at some point, you have to start taking the Niners seriously. And when they beat the Bears, and they will, and they have that last game against the Seattle Seahawks for the right to get a bye and be the number one seed. And by the way, that's in San Francisco. I'm telling you, that is potential to be game of the year, must watch TV. And if they find a way to do that, I know Shanahan's never won the big one and people want to drag that guy. This is a coaching masterclass on the part of Kyle Shanahan.
100%.
And I can't wait for it. I want it to happen. I want him to beat the Bears. I want the Niners, or I want the Seahawks to take care of the Panthers and set up that game down in San Francisco for all the marbles. That's a great way to put a cherry on top of what has been a phenomenal NFL season. When we come back, we put a bow on this sports edition of Primetime before we move into one last club before the Christmas season is officially here. Primetime here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.